Yeah, I remember the time that it was. She tried to feed Athena when you were out of town, oh my gosh, got chased out.
Yes.
Allison tried to feed her, got chased out. I came in. She wasn't super happy with me, but.
Acceptable.
I was able to just, like, you know, push past
very
her.
Acceptable. And then now she has a automatic feeder, so no one has to do that ever again.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Now I leave and she's fine.
You know, it's there's that scene in Transformers Revenge of the Fallen when the shard falls and, like, makes everything in the kitchen become alive. Now imagine the automatic feeder shooting bits of
kibble.
Of kibble at Sam Witwicky.
Star Wars. Transformers. Godzilla. Animation. Whatever else. Robots and etc.
Of soy protein kibble, because that's what she eats. Athena's a soy boy, confirmed.
Well, it's Wednesday night, which must mean that it's Starformerzilla night. Okay, I think I don't do it Wednesday night anymore because we had too many episodes where we. weren't recording on.
It is Wednesday, though.
Yeah, but we have too many episodes where it's not Wednesday night.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
It's Starformerzillamation night. Welcome to Rebels and Robots and Etc. Episode 74. I'm Cameron.
I'm Rachel.
And this is our bi-weekly chat about Star Wars and...
Transformers.
And...
Not the Godzilla prequel comic.
This week is Transformers YouTube stop motion. But also whatever else we both want to talk about. Apparently, actually, this is probably a thing we both don't want to talk about, but we watched it, so we're talking about it. Today, we are talking about something we mentioned back in January that they were going to be doing on the official Transformers YouTube page.
Hasbro.
No, it's on the Transformers
page. I thought it was Hasbro.
No, I think you're remembering that I was accidentally looking on the Hasbro
YouTube
page.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's on the Transformers official YouTube page is Transformers 1 : New Adventures, which is a series of 12 stop-motion... Okay, I don't want to slander the stop motion, because the stop motion is actually quite good.
I don't want to slander
the
crap. What
I do want to slander eventually is the acting, but also the toy choice, which we'll get to. We'll get to it. We got a lot of... the disproportionate value of the significance of this piece of media to our strong of an opinion on this thing is way out of whack. So we'll be talking about Transformers 1 New Adventures YouTube... official stop motion series in a second, but also talk a little bit about Andor season 2, because there's been another quote special look, but it's actually a better trailer for season 2 than the first trailer. So we've got a little more to talk about in anticipation of Andor season 2. But as always, news, woos, and boos, the section of the show where Rachel gives some news and I rate it as woos and boos.
It also includes
just recent thoughts and whatever's happened since the last episode.
It's actually the section where I drink.
She's got it. She's ready to go.
I'm kidding.
The moment I start whipping out my bad impressions of actors no one knows about. Anyways.
We probably needed a drink after trying to figure out a closer for last episode. that took us a while. So this is actually thoughts from the initial Andor trailer that we watched in 2 second bursts every other frame, because that's how Cameron watches trailers.
It's a bad idea for us to watch a trailer on a podcast.
I feel like
it's a bad idea. We should never do it ever again.
I feel like what we should do is we got to watch it the first time all at once, and then we got to go back. I was like, Cameron, we should just watch it. We were like, what about this specific?
But that's just us sitting in silence on a podcast.
Cameron, I own a TV. You have a laptop. We can watch it for 2 minutes and then start.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We should watch it before we podcast. That's all I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure I suggested that.
Well, then I misunderstood you, because I thought you wanted to do it on the pod.
We have this funny thing where I suggest an idea, and then 6 months later, Cameron goes, or I go, we should do this. Cameron's like, I don't know. And then Cameron takes six months to a year to marinate on it before he goes, we should do this thing.
Name one example.
I'm pretty sure I suggested the Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah. But we have a reason to do it now. It's not like I suddenly went, I originated the idea. There's a new movie coming out now.
We needed time to kill.
When?
We needed time to kill until Transformers 1.
Yeah, and that's why we did That's why we did the Ghibli films.
Exactly.
So what I'm
there
saying
wasn't
is
a new one coming out.
Jurassic. What I'm saying is that's why we're doing it here in a few months.
Okay. Yeah.
It wasn't like you said, let's do Jurassic Park, and I said no, and then 6 months later, it's like, we should just do Jurassic Park for no reason. Yeah, we've got a reason to do it now. Anyways, tell me your Andor thought. I want to hear it.
There was a scene where some Empire dudes with some white armor, and you mentioned, this is the first trailer where you mentioned it might have been clone armor. I saw someone suggested it's actually probably ISB tactical armor, which makes a whole lot more sense because those guys looked pretty imperial.
So... are you referring, these are the guys who like were wearing, looked like stormtrooper armor, but they didn't have helmets on?
It wasn't quite stormtrooper. It was like white. So someone mentioned it might have just been ISB tactical gear. It's like when your local guys throw on their bulletproof vests.
Guys who don't do anything other than pull over pedestrians and speeding teenagers. They finally get a chance to suit up and it's the happiest day of their life.
They finally get the chance to swat someone.
I'm trying to find it. Also, I am now realizing, I'm going through the first trailer trying to find this shot. I got so distracted by the very cool paint job on the X-Wings, the black, the green and white, that I did not realize there's a dead body in the foreground.
Hold on.
Which is very ominous. Like, I mean, you expect to see a dead body in an Andor thing. There's lots of those. But the fact that it was like in the foreground of that shot. Let's see. Stormtroopers, where are they? But yeah, that makes it. So that news, and I mean, it. If it's true, I think that's a bit of that's a woo. That gets a woo out of me.
Woo!
Okay, what are the news you got?
We got a release date for the Mandalorian and Grogu film.
Oh shoot, I missed that.
Star Wars posted it in a kind of discreet way. So it's first, these are the BDX droids that you see it in Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, and it's a picture of them, and it says, first look from the set of the Mandalorian and Grogu film featuring BDX droids built by Walt Disney Imagineering. The last film. See the film only in theaters May 22nd, 2026. So next May.
There you go. It's so insane. It just continues to boggle my mind that after this, it will have been, by the time we get to that point, it will have been six and a half years since a Star Wars... No, since... since Mandalorian started, but Rise of Skywalker was in theaters, the last Star Wars movie that was released in theaters.
Holy cow, we're getting into some...
The number of movies that have been announced since then, and then...
And canceled.
This movie was just announced, like, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the one that got fast-tracked, and that's just... It's a bummer to me.
Yeah, anyway, it is.
We talked a lot about it. That news... I mean, it gets a woo in the fact that it is a piece of news, but it gets a boo in the fact that I'm not super happy that it's happening.
Gets half a woo that we're actually getting a theatrical release of something.
Sure,
so,
that's true.
The other thing is that this is like a 4% woo. So in anticipation for season two, Hulu, you can now watch Andor on Hulu.
I saw that.
And Disney Plus, because I hopped onto Hulu to watch my nightly episode of Hoarders.
You know,
and it said Andor, and I was like, hold on, I did not open Disney Plus, and then you can watch it until the 22nd. So if you have Hulu but not Disney Plus, you can at least watch season one.
That's fascinating. Interesting choice. That, I mean, I'm gonna give that a boo because I don't think it. The streaming platform of Andor season one is not news. You got your first boo.
I think it's all news. The other thing is you can download from Star Wars, from their website, DIY instructions to create your own B2 emo popcorn box.
Oh, that's
good. It's a little paper and you fold it and...
Oh, that's fun.
Like, it's cute. It's
so you download it.
You download
the
PDF and then
I was very ready to give that a boo because I was like, DIY products are not news, Rachel. But that actually is. Looks really fun.
I'm pretty sure it's a download. If you want to spend probably like $40 in red ink printing it.
His name is, was it B2 Emo?
B2 Emo.
Yeah. Popcorn basket B2 Emo gets a woo from me.
Woo!
I have no news. You know, it's crazy. It's been 2 weeks. I mean, I guess the big news for me is that I finally got out the best of 2024, best of year two for Rebels and Robots.
For Transformers.
Best for Transformers. Transformers and Robots. What's up?
We were going to talk about the second trailer.
Yes, that will be our first segment.
I had something to say, and then I was like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about it. I just got to chill. Got to wait.
Any other news?
That's it.
That's it. Well.
Unless you want to hear about the things I've pre-ordered.
I think we've had enough of that for the year so far. We've already met our quota for quarter one.
Who are you, my bank? We've had enough of that for the year.
Closer look at Andor season two. What was you gonna? You had a note already, so let's hear that.
Yeah. So, sorry, words are hard. So there's one scene where you see stormtroopers walking through like a very Midwestern looking grain field, and this is the image of it on their Instagram. Mm,
yeah.
Someone said that looks like Lothal.
Ooh.
Which.
Ooh,
for I'm interested.
The listeners who don't know, that is the primary planet of the Star Wars Rebels. Very favorite show of this pod. And yeah, I would love, well, you know, we've gotten Love Action Lothal at the beginning of Ahsoka, but they didn't really explore much. We just kind of saw the tower and some of the city.
And a Loth cat.
That's true.
That is the most important portion.
So that's always the tricky mix of anything new Star Wars is mixing planets we've seen before with new planets.
Yep.
I think, in my opinion, it just needs to be story motivated.
Yeah, it does.
But, you know, I think that is sometimes the bummer of like the sequel trilogy is they don't have a lot of, I think you can go too far. I think especially if you have
one's too far gone.
That's nice.
Yeah. Skywalker. From The Last Jedi.
I think just like
fake fan.
It's such a challenge because I think it can get out of hand with planets having like too much of a gimmick, but like it's very boring that Jakku is just a desert planet. Like
Jakku.
Like at the very least, if you
charcuterie.
See, I think what they failed there is like it doesn't necessarily the planet itself, like the geography doesn't necessarily have to be interesting. The original concept art for Jakku was way more of a graveyard.
Yep.
Like there was a lot more.
It's because it's the last location. It's the location of the last battle of the Empire before
and
it.
And that made it the concept art for Jakku is so cool. But I do appreciate that they wanted it to be sparse. Like they really wanted it to be a nowhere planet.
Yeah, backwater.
Then I think you need something interesting geographically, because it just being a desert is just it. We spend a lot of time on Jakku, and this is just an example.
And everyone wants to go back.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, say what you will about all the stuff in Last Jedi on Canto Bight. Canto Bight looks great. The city, the lighting.
It's fun.
Like, that is a unique location for a Star Wars film, even if you hate that section narratively. They made a new place. And also, the red salts on Crait. And, you know, it is kind of a bummer. There's no recognizable planets on Last Jedi, but they do a great job. And also Octo, super fun.
Exegol looks super cool.
Okay, so that's the Sith planet beyond the Outer Rim. I think conceptually it is. I don't think they explore it enough.
No, absolutely not. That's what I mean. Like, I think, as a concept, it's fantastic.
I think it's too dark. I think it's very sparsely explored, and the majority of the time is just spent with the space battle is the majority of the physical space we see. So I think there could have been interesting. I think the idea of this Sith world, I don't know if it's the Sith home world per se, canonically, but it feels like a Sith home world.
Or, well, even what would have been interesting was when Kylo Ren went to Mustafar in the very beginning of Rise of Skywalker.
So is that confirmed to be Mustafar?
I'm pretty sure, yes, it is. It's just
that,
a different
that
location.
Also looks, whatever planet that is supposed to be, that looks great.
It's supposed to be Mustafar. Okay, it's like a different location.
Yeah, I mean, that forest that they're in, like I know, ashy forest. Yeah, exactly. My whole point is Lothal. I think it is a planet that is a great location in Andor. I'm sorry, in Star Wars Rebels.
Mwah.
And to give it a chance to be even more fleshed out in live action would be great. Especially like draw connections between Andor and Rebels. There's obviously a lot of shared DNA there. So I think it'd be cool. I mean, I don't want what makes Andor great is it's not fan servicey as nearly as much as other Star Wars stuff. Not, but like, it is nice when Andor feels like it takes place in the larger universe as well. Mm-hmm. All the Coruscant stuff. I mean, I don't think it's super controversial to say the Coruscant stuff in Andor season one is some of the best Coruscant stuff, even though you get a ton of Coruscant. I mean, honestly, Coruscant might have the most screen time of any planet. I'd be really interested to see the breakdown of that because of how frequent they go back to Coruscant in the prequels. Mm-hmm. It might have more screen time than any other planet. So Andor coming in and also kind of planting its flag. And then, you know, you got the one episode from Mandor season three.
Mandor. I'll die on this hill. That was the best episode for mm-hmm. me out of season three.
And that is to say there's a lot of good stuff on that planet. It's fun when Andor goes to planets we've seen before. That's all I'm saying. When Andor does it, so it might good. Be the best version of that thing. So
I will say there was a really nice moment in... now, this is not cinema. But... in Jedi Survivor, there's a scene where it's the very beginning. Cal Kestis goes back to Coruscant because they're trying to break someone out, or he's doing a little quest, and he's being snuck in as a prisoner, and the ship flies by the old Jedi temple, and you see all the flags of the Sith and Empire. I wanted to give him a little hug.
Oh.
He's not real person, unless you're Cameron Monaghan. But it was just, I mean, the last time he would have been there was as a Padawan. So the next time he sees it decorated in the Empire, oof, hurts.
Yeah, that's good. You have any other notes about Andor season two?
I'm excited. Big excited. Yeah. It can do no wrong.
You know, they're really showing off the practical sets. The sets look great.
Oh, yeah. Some of those buildings probably exist somewhere in real life, but the fact that they're using them and not sticking to the volume...
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm not a volume hater. It has its great...
options. Finish your thought, Maya, but this is really cool.
That was it. I was just saying, it absolutely has its moments, but it's minuscule when you look at it.
I think especially... You know, I'll connect it to another thing that we both love that Caleb really wants to talk about.
Bird movies.
Chernobyl. He also wants to talk about bird movies, yes. Chernobyl, what makes anything set in the Soviet Union is interesting visually is architecture. And the interiors. Interiors in Soviet era buildings it's such an incredible way to visually illustrate the oppressive nature of the government. Similarly, something that Andor does so well is the interiors of Imperial locations.
Yep.
And so you really need physical sets to get that, because they're often very cramped. But a cool thing I'm seeing here that I did not notice the first time I watched it, I'm seeing for the first time now, is this shot of Cyril and six K2 droids.
Yes.
Which is implying that K2SO is probably... Well, I guess the question... Okay, here's the question now. To kind of backtrack on theorizing about what this image means. What is Cyril's new relationship to the Empire? Because last time we saw him, he was...
It's definitely not Deidre.
He was totally... Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. He was totally, like, disgraced and longer worked. I mean, he never technically worked for the Empire anyways. He worked for a contracted security force. Yeah. But he saw himself as an agent of the Empire. Andor ruins his life. He then goes on a quest to take down Andor. He stalks the ISB lady. Can you remind me of her name?
Deidre,
yes. And he saves her at the end of the last season.
Yeah.
So the question is, does that get him back in the good graces of... So my assumption when I see this image is I almost assume that he is working for the Empire again.
I mean, he...
Gosh. So we have no idea. We have no idea what his status at the beginning of the show is going to be. Also, the show takes place over 4 years. So at any point, his relationship could totally change. If indeed he's working for the Empire again or working with the Empire through Deidre, the idea that he sends these K2 droids for Andor and that is how Andor meets K2SO
is
a cool idea.
His coat looks pretty sick there.
Yeah, he's it's a very well-designed show as far as costumes as well.
My coat, but longer. I bet Caleb owns a coat like that.
The other implication here is these droids have maybe come for him. either direction. The very short sequence that we get the K2 droid in season one, where it just grabs him and just holds Andor up.
Do you mean when you say coming to him or coming
after him?
Okay, for Andor, not Cyril.
No, they might be. He looks like maybe they've rounded these people up.
Oh,
looking for him.
Yeah,
like I don't know. What's really weird about this shot is it's six K2 droids, three on either side of the frame, sitting on.
Like little boxes.
It's a
USB ports.
I cannot think of the word for this. It's a very simple word. It's a bench. They're each sitting on a bench. So that's what makes me think they're like waiting for his command. Like they're not really active. Like these are not in a threatening position.
They're for his use. Yes. Okay.
But it is possible that this, who knows? This single frame is very exciting for me, even though it's not a lot of information. I'm super excited for K2SO to be back. He's one of my favorite Star Wars characters.
Cameron said, give me that droid!
Like, originally, one of the things that absolutely made me certain that Andor Season 1 was going to be bad was that K2SO was not in it. To me, that screams so much of prequel-sequel bait, that they are setting up a sequel for a prequel, or, you know... it's a sequel bait. It's sequel bait to withhold a character that should be in the story. I was like, well, this is very indicative of what Andor is going to be. A show that doesn't need to exist, that's just a prequel for no reason, and they're stretching things out to be more than one season. We obviously know better now.
It's perfection.
But regardless, I am so excited for K2. Because, not just because, like, I want to see a character I recognize. He's a great character. And his chemistry with Andor is amazing. And also, that is one of those very few things of like, yeah, I do want to see how they meet. Most prequels are not very good at the how did the characters meet thing. For example, Star Wars Episode 1, Anakin meeting Obi-Wan for the first time is a nothing moment. It means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that in the Star Wars prequels. One that does it well, Solo. Han meeting Chewie is actually a phenomenal sequence. And so I am very interested to see exactly what led to the circumstance of Andor pretty much adopting this Imperial droid and where does his personality come from?
I love found fatherhood in Star Wars.
So just more exciting. Is there any more specifics of anything that stood out to you in this?
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Big fan of Stellan Skarsgård. Big fan of that man.
Yeah, you know, that's probably one of the harder... He is such a well-written and performed character in the first season. It was such a surprise. I don't think anyone was really going into Andor excited about Stellan Skarsgård.
And then he hits his monologue and we all went,
exactly.
Oh, what's that? What's that clip of Danny DeVito? But he's like, uh-huh. I get it now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so that's going to be tough for that character to top or even match what made him so great in the first season. I know they can do it. I hope that they can.
I mean...
But... It's going to be hard.
He dresses up as his little shopkeeper person.
Man, there's a lot of quick shots in this I did not catch. There's a shot of Cassian and... So Cassian played by...
Diego Luna.
In a ship. And next to him is Alan Tudyk, who's the voice of K2SO.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool that he's actually there. I do remember seeing some shots of him like on stilts on set for Rogue One.
Yeah. Alan Tudyk.
And so it's just like... It's sometimes a bummer when... Someone is just a... I mean, we talk about it all the time. We harp on it. Pedro Pascal as the man and Mandalorian at this point. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a bummer when there's such a separation between voice actor and body actor. And obviously, you don't necessarily... But two things. One, it's cool that Tudyk is more than just the voice of K2SO.
Yeah.
But also, it's cool that they are investing in... You can't just have a tennis puppet. Ball on a stick. Like, you need to have a, even though he's going to be totally CGI in the end, have something there as a performance, because that will both be good for the actors, but also would be good as reference for the CGI. It will also better inform his voice performance, because he's physically there.
Alan Tudyk also has Transformers connections.
We actually watched that clip the other day of, wow.
Watched it last episode. He's Simmons' butler.
We didn't watch the last episode. We watched it last Wednesday. We didn't watch it on the pod, so our listeners don't know that we watched the clip from Transformers 3, where...
What were we doing last Wednesday?
So, last Wednesday...
I came...
You came over to my house. We watched the Transformers 1 shorts, and then we were watching. This is a tangent. This is not technically a tangent episode, but we also clearly don't really want to talk about this Transformers 1 short, so we're going off on a tangent. We were watching random YouTube videos. I showed Rachel the infamous Bill O'Reilly, screw it, we'll do it live. And then that reminded me that Bill O'Reilly was in Transformers 3. So he watched that clip, which ends in Alan Tudyk coming out and kicking out, and with his terrible German accent, kicking all the reporters out of Agent Simmons' apartment. That is incredibly bizarre description out of context. Also,
put that in the best of 2020.
You show that clip to anyone, and other than the fact that they mention Autobots a couple times, but you'd be like, and then tell someone, what do you think this film is about? Would it surprise you to know this is a Transformers film? Anyways, Andor season 2 shaping up to be real good. They've got the A-Wing. The U-Wing.
Real good.
The U-Wing is finally in it, which was a big staple for Rogue One. And so it's great to have that ship come back. You know, I once read somewhere that the idea behind the U-Wing was they wanted to design a ship that if you gave a child a choice between the Millennium Falcon and the U-Wing toy, they'd choose the U-Wing. I don't think they succeeded in that. I do not think the U-Wing is better than the Millennium Falcon. Obviously, we have a lot of nostalgia and emotional connection to the Millennium Falcon. Millennium Falcon...
Not around here, partner.
...is just so unique. Like, nothing looks like the Millennium Falcon. U-Wing... So, you know, if you hand the Millennium Falcon to, like, a mom, they'd be like, I don't know what this is. You hand a U-Wing to a mom, they're like, oh, there's a spaceship. Like, you know it's a spaceship. But regardless, I like it a lot for two things. One is going to get super nerdy.
This podcast.
I like that it has the same engines as the X-Wing. I like that because as much as I love so much of Star Wars design, it does kind of somewhat bug me that all of the different Rebel ships are so strange in relationship to each other. Like, that does visually represent what the Rebel Alliance is.
Cameron, it sells toys.
Yeah, I know. The Rebel Alliance is an alliance of different terrorists. No, different different cells of rebellion. So it makes sense that you have ships from all over the galaxy.
We should clip that for no context and put it in the best of 2025.
But I don't know. I like it when there's a little bit of cohesion. I guess, you know, that does make them contrast nicely with like the Imperial side, which everything is somewhat cohesive in their designs. Regardless, I think it is cool to have at least two different ships in the Rebel fleet that resemble each other. So for the U-Wing to have those same like quadruple quad engines, like the X-Wing, and that's cool. The main reason I like it though is because of Star Wars Battlefront. In Star Wars Battlefront 2, you had space battles.
Oh, those are my absolute least favorite.
I loved them. And each, you had the four factions, obviously, Empire, Rebels, Clones, Droids, had their own set of ships. And every faction has their own, you know, you have like the Starfighter, you have the Bomber, you have like the Heavy one, the Light one, and a Troop Carrier. This is also true for, like, land battles with troop carrier ships. You know, the best one is obviously the clone gunship that's in the movies. The droid one was a bit of a cheat, but you did see that ship in the movies. The Imperial one, they use an Imperial shuttle, which is a little bit cheating because that's not used in battle, but still from the movies. For some reason, the Rebels was just the clone gunship again. And that always bugged the crap out of me that the Rebels did not have their own original troop transport. And that's exactly what the U-Wing is. You see it. There's something about me that I always... Because it makes sense. Like, in battle, you need a ship that transports troops. You never saw this in the movies for the Rebels. So I'm glad they finally gave, for the sake of video games, at the bare minimum. Because you see it in the battle of... at the very end of Rogue One. The planet with the beachfront.
Oh, Scarif.
Scarif. It drops people off, and that's because the main reason they did that is because they wanted to draw their Vietnam visual parallels, and one of the great iconography of the Vietnam Wars is soldiers being dropped off by helicopters. Incredibly nerdy explanation to come back around and say, I'm excited that the U-Wing is in Andor season 2.
This just ain't Cameron excited for Vietnam references.
I love the Vietnam War! You know, that's funny because last March we covered Kong Skull Island, which was shoot. Also Vietnam War coded. I mean, it was it did not literally take place in the Vietnam War. It took place after, and they did not have to make that aesthetically. Mm-hmm. It was a choice. Even though, yes, they had a literal historical connection. The soldiers were literally leaving Vietnam. They came straight to Skull Island. They made a aesthetic choice to make it look like a Vietnam War movie. But it's not literally in Vietnam. Neither is it literally the Vietnam War.
Doesn't it also put Fortune Son in there?
I don't think they did. They did something similar. It's not Fortune. I don't remember what song it is.
Oh, sorry. I'm not a true American. Messed up my 60s, 70s war Vietnam music.
What else you got?
That's it.
I'm just see if there's anything. The sets look great. Costumes look great.
Krennic.
We saw a lot of Krennic in that first trailer. Oh, this is kind of an interesting shot. This is a small detail. I feel like we don't see a lot of lights turning on in Star Wars. There's a great shot here of Andor is approaching the TIE fighter that he's going to get in, which is probably going to be the best scene in the whole show. I'm super excited. The lights in the hangar turn on. And it's like,
that's a good point.
Upon seeing the shot of the dark hangar, made me realize you don't see a lot. Like, lights are almost always on in Star Wars. I don't know if that's true, but that feels true. Like, I just feel like everything's always
everyone's always got some sort of like incandescent light.
Like light even bar. Like I'm thinking about like places that should be dark, like the trash compactor in New Hope, is also still very well lit. Like, why are there lights in the trash compactor?
It's for the compactor monster.
The other thing I will say is I think the prop work also looks really great. I think especially what stood out to me is a shot of the interior of the TIE fighter that Andor's going to pilot. And it looks, I think it's almost identical to the controls that Kylo has for his TIE fighter. It's like this like thing that wraps around your arm. And I'm such a sucker for like
a Wii
buttons.
Remote.
Not a Wii strap. It's more...
It's like the Wii Mario Kart controller that you put the Wii remote into, and you can go meow, meow, meow.
And I'm just such a sucker for like...
Life imitates art.
The way spaceships are controlled in science fiction. Like, I want it to be overly elaborate. Like, I think what's also important about that is like, I think oftentimes science fiction undervalues the physicality of the actor piloting the ship. Whereas in real life, piloting a thing is not that physical. Mm-hmm. Like, you're probably pretty stoic and you're very, like, it's very tight controls. In fiction, I want my actor to be like, as if they are the ship. And so to give an actor physical controls, I mean, the best version of this is, Rachel's going to laugh at me for bringing this movie up, Pacific Rim, that they don't just pilot the robot, they are physically controlling the robot with their bodies.
Mech suit.
Exactly. So it's a small detail, but I think anytime, like, an actor gets a chance to really be physical in their performance of piloting a ship, I find very exciting.
Nice.
Okay, well, exciting stuff. We get to talk about Transformers New Adventures, though that title never appears in the shorts. What it does say on the beginning of everyone is Transformers 1, animated fantasy, toys do not move or make sounds are on their own, sounds and visual effects added.
Animated fantasy stresses me out as a phrase.
It's a weird subtitle for a YouTube series, but it's straight to the point. It's very straightforward. So Transformers 1 Animated Fantasy, Toys Do Not Move or Make Sounds on Their Own, Sounds and Visual Effects Added is a 12-part, normally about 2 minutes, 12, YouTube series.
12 parts.
It definitely felt longer as we watched them. They're free on YouTube. They seem to be a small team. There's not a lot of information. Comments are turned off.
Oh, you know what? That might be because... Hold on.
Oh, because it's made for kids.
If it's on YouTube Kids, you can't comment because the kiddos can't see the comments.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you also can't save it into a playlist, which is one of the strangest things about YouTube now. If it's marked for kids, you cannot save it in a playlist, which is really unfortunate. It seems to be a small team of people who can't voice act and can do stop motion. I think that the stop motion in this looks really good. Unfortunately, though, I think you have an explanation for this. So they are this one. So from short to short, they have different toys. This is obviously meant to be overall a toy commercial, even though there's no like direct connection. They're terrible as ads because at the end of everything, you wouldn't know how to find those specific toys. So even if a kid was like, I want that specific Optimus Prime, there would be no way to seek that out. But nonetheless, it's obviously meant to show off the line of Transformers 1 toys, even though it came out like 5 months after the movie came out, bad timing, when they have articulate, true Transformers toys, it looks really good. Unfortunately, they are sometimes using toys that do not have a lot of articulation, and there's one character.
So here's the thing when it comes to Transformers toys. Here's the thing. There's a lot of things. When it comes to Transformers toys, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. One, it's a minuscule model of a 30 to 60 foot robot. So you have to take that. It's, you know what, 6 to 12 inches. So what, 1 to 12 ratio? 1 to more, probably. Anyways, so you have to take that into consideration. You're shrinking something down into very tiny pieces of a living organism that has a lot of tiny parts that transform, you could say.
Yeah, I think you could say that.
Two modes.
Yes. Except for they don't say the word transform.
Let me talk, Cameron. Get to that later. So when it comes to a transform, like after you get done, a lot of times toys can look either really good in the alt mode or really good in the robot mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And trying to do both is either one, more expensive than Hasbro really wants. Sorry, Hasbro, don't cancel my pre-orders. Please don't extend my Studio Series figures another year like you did already. So a lot of times they're going to go for like accurate body Transformers versus like the cars, because for the most part, you're buying it for the Transformer, not really the alt mode. The alternate mm-hmm. mode they transform into. So you got to make sacrifices on which part you want to look good, but then you have, so there's that. And if they are super accurate in both ways, they're super expensive and exceptionally complicated.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end of the range, you have toys that are trying to keep the look. They come with, it's called kibble.
Yep.
With a lot of kibble, and a lot of times on the cheaper end, it's only a few steps of transforming, but the back kibble on a lot of figures are obnoxious. It's just like the half of a car on their back, and that is unfortunately the figure that they chose for Alita, probably because the Studio Series has been, I don't know, it was supposed to come out in January, and now they're telling me it's not coming out till November, so probably because it's not available. So it happens a lot with some range of toys that they just look abysmal. They have super little articulation. It's just like they're wearing backpacks. That's it. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk about Transformers toys.
So quick update. I'm trying to find any information I can about this Transformers. I should have written it. Trying to do this stupid bit. Transformers animated fantasy toys do not move or make sound on their own. Sound and visual effects added. When it was announced back in January, wait a second. This was announced in January 2024? That can't be right. That's got to be a typo.
That can't be right.
Yeah, it is a typo because at the top it says 2025. That's a typo. Okay, because that would have been crazy if they had announced this last January and didn't release it until this just happened. It says it was supposed to be 14 episodes. There are two missing
episodes. There's lost media, There's Cameron. Lost media.
Maybe they got a good Alita and they're like, no. Not happening.
Well, first of all, they postponed the good Alita. I'm mad about it.
Yeah, because if indeed they had released when they were supposed to, episode 14 would have released March 1st. So they should have.
Oh, shoot.
Episode 14, what? So there's a list of episodes. They really went all out on this thing. These are 2 minute, not good shorts. They really, they made a whole announcement about this with each episode title release and its release date. The last episode, episode 14, would have been called Cybertronian Ninja Warrior Aerial Course, which, like, dare I say, sounds good. I'm trying to find the other title, the one that did not get released, because there's Energon Delivery Service, which we saw. Energon Run, See, the titles on the final YouTube videos do not match these titles. Something happened. Something changed. Regardless, I'm curious. I would be curious to see. They probably were not very good, but if there were two episodes that were made and not released, I'd be curious to see what those were. I'm trying to find if there's any information as to who made it. In partner with The Soul Publishing to produce and distribute the series. Well, let's see if we can figure out what The Soul is. The Soul Publishing.
Soul
Fast growing creator landscape. We are industry leading digital studio and creative agency partner. So theoretically, they're the ones who made it based on short form content. So they got hired to make it. So if they did indeed directly made it and did not hire someone out, that means that an actual company paid people to do the voice acting in this, which is,
hey, you know what?
Get your money back.
Yeah, get the bag.
I said get the money back and you said get the bag.
Oh, I said get the
incredibly
bag.
Incredibly opposite sentiments there. Okay, talk about
get the bag.
Because I don't remember. They will not say the word transform in these shorts. Word? I cannot remember what word they use though. Do you remember?
Form? No.
Change. It was something. It was needlessly complicated. It was like, so they're called alt forms, but I don't think that was it. But the actual verb for transforming was something like morphing or something like that.
Maybe it
I
was
wish I could remember.
Dumb.
It sucked. Anyways, okay. I just want to quickly I'm realizing we're talking about this. Our listeners are probably really confused. They're mostly shorts that are very much designed for kids. They're like things that kids. The bare minimum, the people who made this tried to replicate what kids like on YouTube, which is like little competitions, little challenges. It's very MrBeast.
It's a prank.
So like there's like a Street Fighter-esque tournament between all the characters. And it is, my memory of all these is just how bad Alita is because she her legs don't move and her arms barely move and the stop motion.
It's very Lego.
Are like Lego.
Very
claws.
And the toys change every single episode except for her.
Yeah, she's the same terrible one every time. In fact, they did, it's a very clear workaround. They did one episode that was all from her POV so that they could mask her bad figure. There's like an episode where like she convinces
during Women's History Month. Oh my gosh.
How dare you? No, the last episode came out right before March. They just barely got away from it.
I had to skirt through
it. It was during Black
it.
History Month. And the thing, if it's not obvious, the thing is very loose and fast with the timeline of the actual Transformers movie because Megatron is Megatron through the whole thing, but they're still minors. Like Megatron is still hanging out with Optimus Prime. Minor. There's an
and
episode.
Sentinel's there. He's not dead.
There's an episode where they play a game where they're like trying to throw the Energon into the buckets. There's one where they're on the train on the surface and they're trying to dodge things that are flying through the air. There's a Street Fighter one. There's a whole one where Alita is trying to relax in a pool and Optimus Prime keeps accidentally annoying her. It's just like these are very bizarre.
Canon.
Yeah. There's one where they're trying to hide from the scanners of the quintessons on the surface.
I feel it's very interesting you say quintessons. I say quintessons.
Yeah. There's like a race one. There's a couple different race ones.
Like
go ahead.
Pecans versus pecans.
Yeah.
Pecans. Racing ones.
There's one where they're just like doing like a jump off of a ramp and whoever can do the best jump. Like it's just like... I don't even like it's kind of sometimes you know what something is parodying or like mimicking, but you don't know why you know. I for some reason I have in my head what is made for children on YouTube, and this is it.
It's like Robot Chicken,
except for it's normally real people. Like even if it's clearly staged, it's normally like I made my kids so you can make the best cupcake. Except for those videos, mercifully, those videos are normally like 20 minutes long, and these are two. So these are mercifully short. And it's stop motion. I want to loop back around. The stop motion is excellent. It's well lit. It's well edited. there's no seams. Like, if you ever watched, like, early YouTube Lego stop motion, as no matter how good it was, they were always using room lighting, and room lighting flickers. The flicker would always be incredibly obvious in stop motion. This is perfectly lit. There's no flicker. There's no, like, accidental shot where you can see a guy's hand in it. There's no, like, you can see whatever was holding them up if the toy was, like, flipping through the air. The green screen effects are perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, green keying is the verb for doing a green screen effect. Very hard. It's a very hard thing. You almost always at least get some level of, like, little bit of outline on what you're trying to cut or out.
Some form of green reflection exactly. On the items.
Yes, none of that. So whoever did this visually knew exactly what they were doing. Commendation on that. The issue comes in the what they're about in the voice. I think even what they're about could be saved if it was better voice acting. Also, I'm not realizing, this makes me really appreciate the voice performance of the actual movies. Because as miscast as a lot of those actors are, it's not this.
No,
they at least know how to, like, project like a normal person, whereas these people are constantly the big flaw that's always hard to overcome if you're not a professional voice actor is to not sound like you're in a booth. Like, they're not, anytime they're supposed to, like, speak, no matter what, there's always that weird element of, like, they're kind of trying to whisper. Like, if you've ever, like, gotten a, it's how people talk on voicemail.
It's like, you try not to wake up your parents in the next room, but you still have to be heard.
Yeah, it's the fake scream. Someone goes, ah, like, even that was too much. It's hard to do on purpose. Like, if someone's, like, making a joke and they're doing a fake scream.
Yeah,
that, exactly. Except for they're always doing that weird pitch.
The ah in lowercase.
Uh-huh, exactly. What else? My favorite moment in the whole thing, though, is when they cut to a close-up of one of the none of the figures have
movable face parts.
Yeah, they don't. Their faces are not at all expressive. But it was the simplest version of one of these toys, and they cut to a close-up of the face.
it's like, why?
What is nothing is? Ugh. You're only drawing attention to the fact that this toy is totally lifeless. I think that's probably the next step up they could have done is, you know, even it's super cheap, but on Robot Chicken, which you don't know is a stop motion comedy series on Adult Swim that oftentimes uses pre-existing toys like Transformers. They do mouths and eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think they were probably originally stuck on. They're probably now totally done in post-production.
Yeah.
But that at least, even though it's silly, it adds, this is silly. This Transformers 1 fantasy, animated fantasy toys not move or make sounds on their own, sound and visual effects added. It's silly. So lean into that a little bit. I think at least would have, like, given you some space to have, I mean, would have made it funnier. Like, you can play, you know, giving your characters some level of expression, mm-hmm. You give them big eyes, you know, let their mouth express. Otherwise, you're leaning too much on these bad voice performances. I'm feeling weird criticizing this thing to this level, but this is an official.
You didn't feel that way on Wednesday.
Well, while you're watching it, you have
comfort of your own home.
Anything you can do to entertain yourself while spending what was technically 24 minutes, but it was way longer than that because of time spent in the middle, and also the freaking playlist. At least when I'm watching on my TV. Is uploaded backward. It goes in order of release date. So we had to, every time an episode ended, it would go to the previous episode. So I have to cap. And then also, though, some are just the episode and some are collections of episodes. And thankfully, they always started with the right episode at least, but still, it was a hassle to try to watch. So it took more like 35 minutes. But like, I guess I'm mostly annoyed because this is a missed opportunity, I think. I think this is a cool idea. Like, I think studios could do a better job of using the internet space as a place to promote their thing rather than just trailers and, like, behind-the-scenes mm-hmm. stuff. Like, I think a original stop motion... Like, also, here's what I said. I would totally believe that this thing made more money on YouTube profit-wise than the actual movie. Because these videos, the minimum was 50,000 views. They averaged between 50,000 and 100,000, and the most viewed one had 500,000 views.
Wild to me.
So, like, I'm not saying that, like, that's not insane numbers for modern YouTube. Like, plenty of channels get millions of views.
Numbers. Chump change.
But across 12 episodes, and also they're bad. They're really, really bad because of the voice acting. I think you just ask if you plan this out, this is probably commissioned in the last couple months.
You got some pretty talented Transformers fans on TikTok who would have done something.
Yeah, absolutely. But even bare minimum, I think if you had planned this out when they were making the movie, you just ask Chris Hemsworth to take 10 minutes to record these lines. Exponentially better.
Yeah.
And, but also maybe actually just hire, I'm not connected to this community. I'm sure there are some excellent stop motion YouTube artists on YouTube.
Peter Cullen and Frank Welker, and they probably would have called in their lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, sure.
over Zoom.
Teams, actually.
So, yeah, nice. I just think that this, a little bit more effort, a tiny bit more effort and investment, this could have been something really special. And because stop motion is a dying art, and it's an incredible art. And I think that if you're going to go far enough to actually make this very good on the stop motion front, finish it. Like, it's one of the hardest things in the world is to go 98% of the way, but that last 2% ruins it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, this could have been fun.
I guess if they release 13 and 14, we should probably watch it.
I don't think they're going to. I think something happened.
For a lot. Maybe the audio got corrupted. They're like, well, our Fiverr coupon's up.
Or just, they were just like, whoever was in charge of uploading them was just like, asked.
Maybe they ran out of toy variations to use.
Other notes, at the end, Rachel just sighed and put her hands in her face at the end of the last one. It was great. That's my final note.
It felt secondhand embarrassment.
Oh, almost. Absolutely.
It was just...
Oh, it's hard to watch a lot of the time.
It was pain.
But, you know, sometimes it's fun to have seen something so you can reference it. I feel like this is going to be deep Rebels and Robots lore now. that we got through it together. The hands. Rachel just did the two Lego hands. Just like, that's all they could do. That's the only expressiveness that they could do for Lita was her arms going up. That's all that they had. And she had these claw hands. It was so good.
Anti-women.
I definitely would not recommend watching this on your own. Maybe watch one episode just so you can visually see what we're talking about. Do not watch all 12 episodes by yourself.
If you really want to, you could take a shot for every episode if you want to black out before the end of it.
I think it might be more fun by the end. It is interesting that even though the figures are very clearly Optimus Prime and Megatron, the name of this episode has it as Orion Pax versus D-16.
Yeah.
So they're like masquerading as... These are the pre-movie versions.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
This is something.
Also, you just lose an what's the term? SEO, search engine optimization, there by naming them those names rather than Megatron and Optimus Prime. Anyways, ain't got anything else to say about it?
I'm tired.
Well, that's it. That's it for Transformers 1 Animated Fantasy Toys Do Not Move or Make Sounds on Their Own. Sounds and visual effects added.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
On to a thing that also has an equally convoluted but very necessary name. Meme Minute, but it's longer than a minute. Meme Parsec, Meme Astrosecond. Memes are fantasy. Memes do not move or make sounds on their own. Memes and visual memes added.
That's the government name.
Actually, that is all false. Everything is, nothing is added. The only thing that are added is, we established last week that we don't ever swear. We actually just make those sounds ourselves. what kind of memes you got this week, Rachel?
All images.
All Five. Images. I think I have like one. Oh, I have, I forgot.
I have six.
Show me two memes.
My neighbor's dog got out again.
I saw that. Oh, I loved that.
It's an aerial image of Godzilla.
That's so good.
With the Snapchat line. My neighbor's dog.
Yes. Yes. So good.
Number two, every decision in your life has led you to see this picture now.
Oh, it's like a...
this picture of Mechagodzilla.
But he's very squat. Like the image is being compressed down.
He has no tail either. Oh, he's... Cameron! He's got his dogs out. There's no feet. It's just the actor's feet.
That's so good. I love it.
And his hands, too. It's actually not a complete costume. That's so funny.
Yes.
He's not. He's not dressed.
Okay.
That's so funny.
This is not a meme. It's not even...
Obligatory, not a meme.
It's nothing to do with this podcast, but I kept meaning to send this to you, and I knew to get a good reaction out of you, so I want to get the reaction live on the pod.
I'm afraid.
I was covering an event, so... for this to make at all sense, I'm a videographer. I was shooting video at an event, and I was getting vertical video. So I had the camera turned sideways, and so my viewfinder was vertical. It was an event for Women's Day, and in front of the stage, I was shooting, Women's Day was technically Saturday, but the event was Friday.
Well, I didn't know that.
The stage where the speaker, I was getting footage of the speakers, but right in front of the stage was a big sign that just said, women. Here it is. This is not the joke. I'm not to the joke yet. That's the funny part.
Oh, this Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I was shooting vertical footage, I kept getting shots that looked like this. Where it just said men. Where the W and the O were cut out.
Men.
And it was shot of women talking on the stage about their experience as women in our town. But just in front of them, it's just a big text says men. Men. I instantly thought Rachel's going to love men. This. Oh, it was too good.
That was good.
So, not related, but I knew to get a good laugh out of Rachel.
It was good.
What else you got, Rachel?
So, this is the image of the two guys. I'm so sorry.
Careful, there's a microphone there because we're podcasting.
Are we? Could have fooled me. Could have fooled me. It's the picture of the guys, like the super buff guys, the white shirt, red shirt, and they've got they're holding hands and they're like, it's the agreement meme.
It's an image. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger and another Carl Weathers. Who is?
I don't know that.
It's in the movie Predator, and it's just two very buff guys who give each other the most bro handshake of all time. So, but up, both the hands are up.
Yeah. You know the meme format. It's like the agreement and two not.
Uh huh. Yep.
I love this mold. Transformers collectors. Blue cheese enthusiasts.
Nice. Very good.
Toy mold for context for anyone that needs an explanation.
This meme is related to something that we don't talk about a ton on the pod. Asked my mom why I stopped martial arts when I was a kid, and she said she saw, quote, a great darkness in my eyes, his mom.
Oh.
It's Oogway from Kung Fu Panda.
Oogway
from Kung Fu Panda. From the movie when he sees that Tai Lung is evil and rejects him as the mom. Tiger, as the what is the thing?
Dragon Warrior.
The Dragon Warrior. Thank you.
Gosh. I only have three left.
Okay, give me two.
I do have three left. Okay. When the robbers have me at gunpoint and I tell them take anything, but they start taking my Godzilla figures.
This is so weird.
It's the clip from the latest Guardians of the Galaxy movie where Adam Warlock pulls his hand. Don't be rash.
You know, because we're pretty short on time, how the heck do you know that? Like, this doesn't seem like the kind of information I expect you to know.
It was a huge meme.
Was it really
on TikTok? Yeah,
I'll
throw
TikTok.
Up some examples before you leave. Not when we're recording, but it's. Don't be rash. I love them. They're so funny because she's I'll kill this thing. Don't be rash.
I see.
The second one.
I'm such a sucker for these. They're always so good, man.
It's a very popular image of a horse standing on a beach, and it just says "man." And it's a picture of Godzilla also standing on a beach. It's old Godzilla just saying, man, just captioned, man.
Man. It's like, they had decided, things didn't go away. Man.
Man.
So this is another obligatory, not a meme. This is a photo I took last night. I was like, Rachel would love this. I was at the grocery store and I was walking through the ice cream aisle and I caught at the corner of my eye Kung Fu Panda 4 ice cream pops. It's just Po's head. It's just wild that it's been a year.
It's wild that it's black cherry flavored.
Oh, is that really? One of my favorite things is merchandise tie-in food for a movie that came out a long time ago. It's like, how old is this? How long has this been in storage?
Yeah.
So a year old ice cream that tastes like Po. It tastes like it has a secret recipe soup in it.
Tastes like nothing because
secret ingredient
tastes soup. tastes like nothing because there is no secret ingredient.
Oh, also, okay, quick PSA.
Public service announcement.
Always pay attention to what food is labeled as, because sometimes the food that you think you're buying is not the thing that you want it to be. For example, Kraft singles are called Kraft cheese single. No, they're called Kraft singles cheese product. They are not cheese.
Correct.
Similarly, ice cream it will say ice cream on it. Otherwise, it will say frozen dairy product. That means it's not actually legally ice cream. This thing, flavored frozen confection.
Oh, it's probably just like, my guess is it's just fiberglass and water. An artificial
just
flavor.
Like Poe's dad used to make. It's like Mr. Ping used to make. Also, $7 for six of them.
You know,
they're probably like two bites.
Yeah.
Anyways, what else you got?
So this is my last one that someone just sent this to me along with the Godzilla image. But all she said was, "This you." It is a picture of Godzilla drinking a very large Dr. Pepper, and I feel targeted and honored.
And it's large for him.
Yeah, it's large for him.
Proportionate to Godzilla.
Yeah, it's like a, you know how like, what's like the 72-ounce Big Gulp, or you know, when it's like 7-Elevens fill anything, they bring in like the Home Depot buckets. It's like that to Godzilla.
Well, as far as I know, that brings us to the end of this episode. We're in a light season. That you know, temporarily, that's what we'll call this era. We'll just call it the light season. Between ending our coverage of Skeleton Crew, which was flashback to... Where is the name? Jod Nanawood's Christmas special on the Onyx Cinder Express. Between that and once we start Andor,
bare minimum spring.
That's good. I like that. I put that down as temporary. Bare minimum. That's good. Bare minimum spring.
This podcast could have been an email spring.
So that's where we're at right now. So we got light episode. Just a little light seasoning for you until we get into the heaviness of it. Because at some point, no, okay. Actually, I gotta look at the timeline for this, because I heard on a podcast that they might be releasing 3 episodes a week for Andor.
Holy cow!
I heard that. I don't know if it's true. If that is the case, that's only 4 weeks.
When did you get here?
She's been laying there for our editor. She's our editor. She's got to be
here.
She's
been there the whole time.
Yeah, most of the time at the very minimum.
I'm sorry.
Where we had a calendar. Where's the calendar? Here it is. If Andor starts on April 23rd, no, because we're starting. No, it might be done before we have to cover Jurassic Park.
Holy cow.
If that is indeed the release schedule, because what was it? I heard they wanted, the reason they said that on the podcast, they're trying to get it out before something else. Or maybe they're trying to get something else out before Andor. Oh, it's because they're trying to get, never mind, totally unrelated. I'm going to see if I can find this Andor release schedule. Maybe they're still deciding. That's why they haven't officially released it. Release schedule. Okay, so 2 days ago, according to this article, that's what this says. 3 episodes on April 22nd, 3 episodes on April 29th, 3 episodes Holy on May cow. 6th, and 3 episodes on May 13th.
Holy cow.
That's wild.
That is.
And we have on the schedule covering Jurassic Park on May 14th. So if, based on that schedule... Oh, we might have to reschedule, because according to that schedule, we would then be covering hold on, I gotta make sure I got this right. April 30th. We would either, depending on how we'll have to figure this out, because according to that schedule, we'd be probably covering the last half of Andor season 2. And Jurassic Park on the same episode. Sheesh. I don't think we can do that. So we'll have
to... I think we can. I just don't think anyone will listen to it.
That's just too much for one episode of a podcast. Half of Andor season 2. The second half of Andor season 2. Plus, thanks for that. Over me talking, so I can't cut it out. I normally have to cut those out. We'll figure it out. We'll have to chat about it. I definitely want to give... That also means that we can't, because we originally assumed there'd be 1 episode a week, which meant that we could podcast every 2 weeks and cover 2 episodes an episode of the podcast. That works. Trying to cover it in only what would effectively be only 2 episodes, maybe 3 of the podcast, we will have to make a decision on that. Because, no matter how we slice it, we would be covering at the bare minimum, 3 episodes and then 6 episodes and then 3 episodes Jurassic Park. So we'll just see. As we get closer, we'll have to see. We'll also figure out if that's actually true or not. They also might reverse their decision because that's a bad idea in my opinion.
What do you do, like every two? Like two? Well,
I just don't think it's a great issue. I mean, what they're doing there is they're 3 episode arcs. So each of those 3 episodes takes place at a time, and then it's going to do like a year jump. So you couldn't break it up in an even number way. That's the only way to break it up if you're going to break it up other than 1 episode every week. I don't know. I guess we'll see. It's going to be a strange time for Rebels and Robots. So I'm glad that we're having that this could have been an email season. As always, thank you to Caleb Jacoby for our intro and outro music. Props to Rachel for our artwork and Twitter account at Rebels Robots Pod.
Props to Cameron for doing the Facebook and the Instagram, but he will ignore you on Instagram if you send him messages. maybe that's just a me thing.
That's exclusively for you. That's just a little treat for you.
A little treat.
You know, give us something to read on the pod. That is, you know, binge watch all 12 episodes of Transformers. Long name insert here. I'm not looking it up.
Transformers animated fantasy. You either got to say Transformers or the whole title. Otherwise, it sounds weird.
Transformers. You have to say the whole title or it's weird. Let us know how you think about that. You know, just and maybe do the drinking game. Take a shot every new episode. Take a shot every time Alita doesn't move her face. Still waiting on reviews, Caleb. And Megan, who might listen to this in a year.
2 years.
This is Cameron and Rachel signing off saying this is a flavored frozen confection of a podcast. I think one of those will work. The second week in a row, we're just like, dude, throw everything at the wall and see which one's better in the edit.
throwing a pack of Kraft cheese singles.
They're just Kraft singles.
Let me finish. Throwing a pack of Kraft singles cheese products at the wall and see what sticks.
So good.
Good night.
Welcome to Rebels and Robots and Food Education.
Good night.
Nutrition facts with Cameron and Rachel.
No.
Transformers toys are not food.
Athena, that's for you.
I meant to make the joke at the moment, but the moment passed. We said kibble twice in this episode.
I know. For Athena totally and for Transformers.
But both were related to Transformers still.
Soy boy kibble. Transformers or Athena's food?
Soy girl.
Soy girl.